goodness to us. And turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1. And we're going to be starting here in verse 1 again. But we're going to read down through verse 9 here. There is so much truth in this book of Hosea, so many things that we could take out of this book and all of that. And as you read down through here, you see how God was dealing with such an unfaithful people. It's amazing how He desires to deal with us as well. But Hosea chapter 1, starting in verse 1, notice the Bible says this: "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Call her name Luhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Luhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Loamai, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." That's some pretty hard words there, especially there on the in verse 9 when it says, "Ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." Let's pray, and we'll get started with the message here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Lord, I do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to assemble in this place and just to just hear your word preached. Lord, I pray that you would help me, Lord, just guide and direct my thoughts and my words. I pray that, Lord, every word that I say would be pleasing unto you. Lord, I do pray that if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, they'd come to know you tonight. But those of us who are saved, Lord, I pray that we would see, Lord, that we're one decision away from being in the same place, Lord, that we see Israel here in this passage. Lord, help us, God, to stay close to you and help us to remain faithful for you, being a witness everywhere we go. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the book of Hosea, we've been discussing some truths about this man, Hosea, and of course his wife, Gomer. And we've seen that this book here, it's a picture of a relationship. It's not a relationship with man to man. It's a picture of a relationship with man to God. And of course, Israel to Almighty God in the context here of this book. And it's a picture of not only a relationship, but a broken relationship. And we're going to find here that this broken relationship, it was not broken because of both sides of the relationship. It was broken because of Israel. God did nothing to break this relationship. God did everything he could to let them know how he cared for them. He provided for them. He brought them through battles. He brought them through times in which in man's eyes, they should not have came through. He provided for them in all of these ways, but yet they still turned their back on Almighty God. This relationship was broken because of the pride of Israel, because they turned their backs on God. With that in mind, I'd like to preach to you a message that I have entitled this: When God Ceased. When God Ceased. It's my desire for us to see this pattern here in Israel and see the pattern that they followed that caused God to react in a certain way, and that we would learn from their mistakes, and that each and every one of us would ask the Lord to help us remain soft toward His Word. How did they get to this point? because their hearts were hardened toward God, because of the sin that they were involved in. Here in this passage that we read here this evening, we see that there were three children born to Hosea and Gomer here. We see that God directed the names of these children. Each one of their names had a direct correlation with what God was doing at that time, or what he was going to do. Look at verse 4, if you will. It says this at the end of verse 4, "And will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel." That word "cease" there, it comes from the Greek word shalbath, and it means this. It means to desist from exertion. It means to cause to fail. It means to put away. As we go through this message here, I am in no way saying that God ceased to exist. We know that that is not possible. We know that everything relies on God. God always has been and God always will be. But we see in this passage that God desired to work through Israel. And I believe this can be a warning to us as believers as well, and a warning to us as a church, because God desired to work through Israel. There were some things that God desired to do with them and through them, but because of their hard hearts, God ceased those things. God wanted to work through Israel, but because of their hearts, God had to say, "I can't do that. I'm not going to work through you, because of the sin that you're involved in." You know, he desired to work through Israel then, but in today's time, God desires to work through the church. There's many of churches that God cannot work through. Not because he's incapable of working through someone. God can do anything he wants, but there's many churches that are full of people that have no desire to have God work through their life. No desire to do what God wants them to do. So we see here that God ceased in these things. First of all, notice God ceased their influence. Look at verse 4 and 5, if you will, here in this passage. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Notice, as we study the Bible, we see that God has three different programs going on as we study that. And God has different times for these different things. We see the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. We see those programs. And of course, we are part of the church age. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you've trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of the church of God. And we have a responsibility to work for God in this program that God has put us in. We look at the Old Testament, we find that God was working through the nation of Israel. Israel was powerful. Israel was a mighty force. They were strong militarily. But the victories that they got had nothing to do with the amount of men that they had on the battlefield. It had nothing to do with how sharp their swords and their spears were. It had nothing to do with how great their archers could shoot and how accurate. It had nothing to do with how fast their horses may have been. That's not why Israel was victorious. They were victorious because God was on their side. And as we study the Bible, we find that the world at that time, all of the known world, their eyes were on Israel. And can I say this? The known world eyes are still on Israel. You know, there's a lot of countries that want to wipe Israel off the map. I would hate to be a part of one of those countries, because God's going to take care of his people. We know that God is going to take care of them. But the truth of the matter is, Israel has always had enemies, because Israel is God's chosen people. And the devil would like nothing more than to destroy Israel, because in his mind, if I destroy Israel, then God's plan will cease. Well, that would all be fine and good if the devil was all-powerful, but he's not. He's fighting the all-powerful God, and of course, God is in control of everything. But we see, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We see this in many passages, but here's just one that we're going to look at here this evening. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 29. Second Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 29, we are talking about the the nation of Israel here, and as they are going into battle here, and look at verse 28, notice, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Notice verse 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries. Why was the fear of God on them? Notice it says, when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. They were not worried because of the strength of Israel's men. They were in fear because they heard that the Lord was fighting. They heard that Jehovah was on Israel's side. And I think of the story of, as you read through 1 Samuel, when you're looking at Eli and his sons and the battle and all of that before the Ark of the Covenant was taken and all of those things, we see Israel, they rushed into battle, and as they're fighting there, of course the Philistines are there, and we know that Israel goes in there, and Israel starts to be defeated. But they don't turn to God when they start getting defeated. What do? Hey, run back and grab us the Ark of the Covenant. Not one time do they cry out to God. They said, bring the Ark of the Covenant. We talked about the Ark of the Covenant a little bit this morning. Yes, it was a great thing, and the Lord provided that for them. But they had more faith in a piece of furniture than they did in the God that was representing. Ark of the Covenant comes. What happens? They continue to be defeated, and the Ark gets stolen. But we see that the enemies here, as we read throughout this the Old Testament, you find that these ones were coming up against Israel, and as their eyes were on Israel, after they came through the Red Sea and all of that, these other countries, they heard what God had done to the Egyptians. These other countries knew that Egypt was the world power at that time. And somehow, this group of slaves had defeated the Egyptian army. How was that possible? They knew that it was God that did that. And fear fell upon all of those nations. So that's who we're talking about here. We're not talking about just some little gang of people here that is going out and just fighting some battles. No, we're talking about the nation of Israel here. The God's chosen people and these other nations are watching them. The enemies of Israel are scared, and these nations, they watch what Israel does. And when America has been swift to execute judgment on nations that attack Israel, guess what? Nations tend to back off of Israel. You know, it's good to have people in power that care for Israel. It's a good thing because of who Israel is. But you see, make no mistake about it. America today is a world power. We know that to be true. We live in a great country. But the truth of the matter is, America is, or was at one time, full of people that were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. And we do not see America on the uptrend, do we? No, we see it tearing itself apart. Israel was following the Lord, wasn't they? They were doing at one point, they were doing what God wanted them to do, and God was blessing them. And in their minds, they were unstoppable. That's where America was as well. What happened to Israel? Well, they took their eyes off of God. And we find in just these few short verses here what Israel did, and we see here that God says this, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. You know, America may be powerful, but America has taken its eyes off of God. And we are in no way immune to God judging us. The world sees how America is acting. The world sees that crime is running rampant in our country. The world sees how weak we are in leadership. It sees how America has put itself in a very sad position. The world sees that because the world watches America just as the world was watching Israel. Nations of Israel, it is a sacred nation, but the other nations, they were scared of Israel because of who Israel was following. But we see in verse 4 that God says all of that's going to change. Israel had the eyes of the world, and that was not by accident. God's plan was for Israel to tell the world about God. That was his plan. All of the nation's eyes were on Israel. And yet they failed God. They failed him. And God says here, you're going to cease. He said that he would cause their kingdom to cease. They're not going to have the influence that they once had. Not because God is not long-suffering, but because they turned their backs on God. Notice the name of this first child here, Jezreel. Now, this is very important because of what the name represents. God is speaking in some prophetical terms here as well because of what Israel has done. God will cease their kingdom presently, but also notice here Jezreel, that's the same area in northern Israel in which the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. This Jezreel here, it's also known as the Valley of Megiddo. There's going to be some terrible things that happen there. This area in Jezreel, that's where Jehu will kill Joram and Jezebel and Ahaziah. Many Baal worshippers are going to be killed there as well. This is going to be a very bloody place. God says that's what's going to happen. Because you've turned your back on me. We cannot miss what's happening here. Notice this. This is a nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the ones that God desired to work through. These are the ones who were supposed to make God known to the rest of the world, but because of their hard hearts, they failed. And over again, we see that they committed spiritual adultery. And now, instead of being this beacon of light to the community, instead of being an earthly example of the power of God, God describes them in one word, Jezreel. That's how he describes the nation of Israel. He describes them. Notice there in verse 4, it says, And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And notice there he says, And I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. This nation that was supposed to be pointing people to God, how did they get to this point? How did they stoop to this point here? They disobeyed the word of God. That's how they got there. They turned to idols. They stopped following they stopped following God. They started following men. Remember when Israel wanted a king? What did Samuel tell Israel when they wanted a king? He said, God doesn't want you to have a king. He said, that's not God's plan for you. God's plan is for you to follow him. And what did they say? Oh, okay, well, if that's God's plan, then that's great for us. That's not what they said. They said, we want a king anyway. And we're finding here exactly what happened because of their decisions. You know, God told them that the king was going to lead them astray. He told them that. He warned them what this king was going to do. And we do not see them in this passage here when back in the book of Samuel, when he's talking about giving them a king and they're, of course, wanting a king and all of that. We don't see them doing what we saw in the book of Exodus. Remember when the word of the Lord came down and the nation of Israel said this, whatever the Lord saith, we will do. Yeah, except for a few years later, when they're standing there and they want a king. Well, I know that you're saying that's what God said, but here's what I want to do. And now, because of that, they continued down that path, and God gave them chance after chance after chance to repent of their sins, and they did not do that. Therefore, God says, I'm going to cease your influence. And there's been many believers that have been in the exact same spot, and some are there today because they've turned their back on God. Many of believers who have had a great influence in times past. But they stopped believing the Bible. They stopped doing what God wanted them to do, and therefore, they have no influence now. Therefore, their testimony is gone. Many people who've trusted Christ as their Savior, they've seen God do great things, but they reached a point in which they built a wall that is keeping them from hearing the voice of God. They've been taken captive by this world's philosophy. There's many believers out there that care more about the mindset of people than the mindset of God, and that shouldn't be the case. It's not about making people live a better life. It's about leading them to Christ so that He can help them. That's what we are to do. Many times we've gotten off course. We see that Israel, they reasoned among themselves rather than listening to God. They found themselves in the midst of trouble. And if we as believers are in that spot, you can mark my word that if we are not obeying the voice of God when He speaks, though it may seem okay for a little while, judgment is coming. And you're going to lose your influence. And there will be nothing that you can do about it. You set on a shelf. God loved these people. These were His chosen people. But because of their hard hearts, because they were willing to run to sin rather than running to God, He said, "Your kingdom's going to cease." And Israel would not have the attention that they once had. Why? Because Israel is going to be taken captive. They're going to be under the control of a pagan government. All because they turned from God. It happened to the nation of Israel, and it can happen to us. Not only do we see that God ceased their influence, but notice verse 6 and 7. Notice God ceased His mercy. Verse 6 and 7, it says this, "And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but will utterly take them away." You know, as we looked at the name of that first child, we look at in verse 3 that it says, "And he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and which conceived and bare him a son." Obviously, that was the son of Hosea. With these next two children, it doesn't say that they were Hosea's children. All it says is that she conceived. We know, of course, that she was in adulterous relationships. They could have been Hosea's children, but it doesn't say that with the next two children. All it says is that she conceived. And what we see here is we're going to see that things continue to get worse and worse and worse. And sin will do the exact same thing today. You may be involved in something that you think that no one knows about you. If you're married, your spouse may not know about it. If you're a parent, your children may not know about it. If you're a child here, your parents may not know about it. But you can mark my word that if you do not get it right with God, it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse, and someday you're going to turn around and you're going to say, "How did I get here?" Lord, help us. Of course, we know that Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. She was living in adultery. We see here that God says to name the girl child Lo-Ruhamah, which means this: "I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel." This was the final straw for them. And notice when God made this statement here, Hosea was writing this between the years of 785 and 725 BC, and Israel was taken captive in 721 BC. That's not very long from the time that God said this and the time in which they were taken captive. The ones that heard this were the ones that were taken captive. You don't think when they heard the word of Hosea that came from the Lord, you don't think when they heard that years later when they were taken into captivity, those words were not ringing through their ears? They knew this was the judgment of God. They knew that it was no one's fault but their own. They knew that God said, "Your kingdom's going to cease." And can you hear those words ringing through their head when God said this? for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but will utterly take them away. That's some sad words to hear from Almighty God. But that's what they heard. Should be a reminder to each and every one of us that we are where we are because of the mercy of God. Israel was in the spot that they were in, physically speaking, also spiritually speaking, because of the mercy of God. God brought them to this point. They should not have lived through these battles that they went through. They should have been wiped off the face of the earth. But they were not. Why? Because of the mercy of God. But God says that mercy is going to end. As we study this passage here, and look at the continued history of Israel, we see that the southern kingdom of Judah, it lasted another 150 years longer than the northern kingdom. Why is that? Because of the mercy of God. God is merciful, amen. We see there toward the end of the passage here in verse 6, it says, "For I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel, but will utterly take them away." And then we read about the house of Judah and how God was going to save the house of Judah. Because God can do whatever He wants to do. But God was speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel here, and He's telling them, He's saying, "Look, you've turned your back on me for too long." He said, "I've got to get your attention." How do you do that? By taking someone to the deepest place they've ever been. And they're going to find themselves in captivity. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, if you will. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice what the Bible says here. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, we cannot get the mercy of God anywhere except from God Himself. It says, "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy." Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, the Bible says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." God's rich in mercy. He wants to be merciful to us. He is merciful. Maybe you found yourself in a terrible place spiritually, a dark place. Maybe you're here tonight and you're away from God. Maybe you've not been living the way that you should be living. Can I tell you this? The conviction of the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight, and you need to make this right with God. Because God is going to judge sin. You need to make it right immediately. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It doesn't matter what your influence is to other people. God is, if He's speaking to you tonight, He's telling you there's this area of your life and it needs to be fixed immediately. You may say, "Well, why should I care about my influence on others?" Well, take that a step further. How about losing the mercy of God? The sad place in which Israel found themselves here. See, God gives us a promise in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 86 and verse 5. You know, turn over there if you will. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 5. There's nothing more important than following the Lord. And this promise we see here in Psalm 86 and verse 5 is an amazing. Well, notice what the Bible says in Psalms 86 and verse 5. "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." It doesn't only say that God is good. It says that He's ready to forgive. You know, God desires a relationship with us more than we desire a relationship with Him. He does. And he's ready to forgive us. The devil would like nothing more than for you to think to yourself, well, if I try to get this right with God, then what are other people going to think about me? Yeah, Israel, they may have been thinking the exact same thing. Well, what will these people think if we come in there with our rituals that God has told us to do? Well, they may make fun of us. So instead of doing what God told us to do, we're going to turn to their pagan idols, and God takes away their influence and God takes away their mercy. God from them. All because they desire to do what man wanted them to do. Doesn't matter what man wants, what God wants. Lord, help us. Do not cause God to cease in your life. Do not cause God to set you aside. Live for God. He's plenteous in mercy. It's mercy that is there for us, and his mercies are new every morning. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But Israel, it came to the point where God, a pagan king and a pagan army that comes in here and takes the children of God and holds them captive. So first we see that God ceased their influence. Then we see that God ceased his mercy. And lastly, we see in verse 9, notice, God said that he would cease to be their God. Notice verse 9. And God said, call his name Lo Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Here we see that God makes a very sobering statement. He says, you're not my people, and I'm not going to be your God. What a terrible place to be. How did they get there? Spiritual adultery. How did they get there? By choosing the world over choosing God. By listening to man's words rather than God's word. By trying to just be good enough to man. Well, we don't have to stand up for this. As long as we are doing some of the Bible, you see, Satan's going to place you on a slippery slope. And it didn't work out for Israel. It's not going to work out for us either. We must stick with the Bible. Israel got there because of unfaithfulness. Doing the same things that we have been guilty of day in and day out. We cannot live for Christ on our own. We need the Lord. And the nation of Israel had gotten to the point in which God would disassociate himself from them, not because of his lack of long suffering. We know that he is a merciful God. He cares for us. He loves us so much that he sent his own son to die for us. He wants us to go to heaven. He cares for us. He loves us so much. But he disassociated himself from them because of their sin. The picture of Israel completely turning from God and turning to idols. What we see here when it says, then God said in verse 9, when he's talking about his son there, for ye are not my people and I will not be your God. He's not saying I'm ceasing to be God. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying this, because of the decisions that you've made in your heart, I'm not your God any longer. You've turned to other things. And we find that in so many areas of life. For many people, they may come to church, but God is not their God. Their career is their God. Their cars are their God. Money, that's their God. Their kids may be their God. Their toys may be their God. You see, Israel, they were the people of God, but yet he was not their God. They had turned to these other idols. We cannot go on without God. We need his help individually. You see, we live in a nation that has driven God out of the government, out of the schools, out of homes, and in many places, God has even been driven out of the churches. Lord, help us. The church used to be the place where people knew they could go to get help. It used to be that way. You know what church is looked at today? Just a social gathering. Well, why should I go to church? I'm going to see the same things there and hear the same things that I hear in the bar. Why would I go there? Why would I go there and just have somebody tell me I'm a good person? I know that's not true. The world knows that. Why would they go there? How did churches get to that point? Spiritual adultery. Because they cared more about appeasing man than they did about living for God. God has been driven out of many churches to make room for the rock band. He's been driven out of many churches, notice this, to attract more people. Well, people don't really want to hear what the Bible says. Well, if they don't want to hear what the Bible says, they can go somewhere else, amen? We're going to preach the Bible. Because that's what they need to hear. It's what all of us need. Israel had gotten away from the Word of God, and God says, He said, I'm going to cease you as a kingdom. I'm going to cease your influence there. I'm going to cease my mercy toward you. He said, and I am not your God. How did they get there? By doing the same thing that our flesh tries to tell us to do. Well, I know what the Bible says, but here's what I want to do. Well, I know what God says, but I want to do this. Just because a place is called a church does not mean that God is there. Many times we tend to look at accounts in Scripture as a fairy tale. We may see it as a true story, but yet we get on our spiritual high horse and think, well, that could never happen to me. But it can. You see, God said that He would cease to be their God because that is what the people wanted. You say, well, wait a second, preacher. It doesn't say that they told God, we don't want you to be our God. Maybe not with their lips. But the way that we live speaks louder than any words we could ever say. And they were living as though they did not want God to be a part of their life. And it doesn't matter how many times we darken the door of a church. If we live like the devil outside of this place, we're saying with our life, God, I don't have room for you. Lord, help us. See, God said that He would cease to be their God. They had disobeyed God. They had turned to idolatry. They turned their backs on the very God of heaven. And God says, I'm done. Sad passage in Scripture, but what a clear passage of God's grace. He had given them so much mercy, given them so much time. He had waited. But we see that God judges sin. God has given us everything that we need. He has been a help in the time of trouble. He's fed us when we're hungry. He's given us water when we're thirsty. He's provided for us when there's no way of making it through. He's proven Himself over and over and over again. Yet because of our hardened hearts, many times we refuse to listen to His Word. Lord, help us. Because our flesh is prideful. So as we look at Israel here, what can we do to ensure that we don't end up in this place? I think each and every one of us would say, I don't want to be there. I don't want to go to that place where Israel was. I don't want God to look at me and say, your influence is done for me. There's no more mercy and I'm not your God because you've turned your back on me. I don't want to be there. So what can we do? Well, if you've never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, understand that God loves you and He wants you to be saved. He's given His Son to die for you. You need to trust Him as your Savior tonight. While you still have time. But if you are saved, know that God loves you as well. Know that He cares for you. He desires to be your God. He's given you so much mercy. He desires to lead you. But the choice is up to you, whether you follow Israel did not have to be in this place. They didn't have to. They were not in this place because someone forced them to turn to idolatry. They were in this place because they allowed their flesh to lead them rather than letting God lead them. And anytime we do that, we're going to find ourselves in a mess of trouble. The choice is up to us. You want to be in the place that Israel was at this point? Continue on the path of disobeying God. You want God to work through your life? Follow the Bible. Follow what God has told us to do. Do the opposite of what Israel was doing here. They were following man. We need to follow God. They were turning to spiritual idolatry. We need to ensure that God is the only God in our life. Everything else is secondary. Allow God to lead us. The choice is up to us. And may each and every one of us as believers never get to the point in which we cause God to cease.